set.
Okay, here we go. We're going live in 3, 2, 1.
Grab your mason jars, strap on that apron. It's time for Canning with the Diva, making her mark across the globe, teaching you how to safely preserve delicious recipes. Please welcome your host, Diane Devereaux,
the Canning Diva.
Hi, everyone. I'm Diane Devereaux, the Canning Diva, and you are tuning in to Canning with the Diva. Welcome. I am so blessed to bring you episode number 9 today. Today, we're going to talk about immune-boosting properties when home canning ginger root. And I must say, the reason I'm so excited about today's episode is because ginger is one of my favorites. I consume ginger every day. And I even overindulge on pickled ginger when I'm enjoying some sushi. Anyone who knows me knows I will always ask for extra ginger when dining on my favorite sushi roll. I love its spicy flavor, and even more so, I love its many health properties, especially if I'm working to keep my internal inflammation down and keep my immune system functioning strong. So today we're going to talk about two different recipes that embody the many wonderful things regarding ginger root. We're going to talk about a water bath recipe and a pressure canning recipe. As I shared this month, I'm working to give you all immune boosting recipes to help you throughout this cold and flu season, no matter where you are tuning in from across the globe. Canners everywhere are working hard to have healthy meals and foods in a jar to get them throughout each month, especially in the winter. In this episode, I will share two amazing recipes that me and my family consume daily, and we often interchange them. Okay, guys, so ginger or ginger root is a member of the Gingerbaceae family, okay? This also includes the turmeric root. Now, it has a spicy aroma, ginger, of course, and that is due to the presence of ketones, especially the gingerols, which appear to be the primary component of ginger studied in much of the health-related scientific research. Indians and Chinese are believed to have produced ginger as a tonic root for over 5,000 years, and they did this to treat many ailments. And this plant is now cultivated throughout the humid tropics, with India being the largest producer. Now, ginger was used as a flavoring agent long before history was formally recorded. It was an exceedingly important article of trade, and it was exported from India to the Roman Empire over 2,000 years ago, where it was especially valued for its medicinal properties. Now, ginger continued to be highly sought after. It was a commodity in Europe, and even after the fall of the Roman Empire, the Arab merchants controlling the trade in ginger and other spices, and they did this for centuries. So they pretty much had the monopoly on the spice world. Now, in the 13th and 14th century, the value of 1 pound of ginger was equivalent to the cost of a sheep. Isn't that crazy? So now, by medieval times, ginger was being imported in preserved form, and it was now being used as sweets. And many of us have seen like crystallized ginger in recipes. Well, Queen Elizabeth I, she was of England, of course, she's credited with the invention of the gingerbread man, which became a popular Christmas treat. So whether it was crystallized ginger or they found a way to pulverize that and use it in, I just had ginger snaps last night, as a matter of fact. I mean, ginger has been used for thousands of years and in so many incredible ways. Now, because it's been used for thousands of years to treat various ailments, we can say with confidence, and of course, some scientific backing us up, that using ginger to treat colds, nausea, arthritis, it's been known to help with migraines and asthma. It's been also known to work wonders with menstrual irregularities, diabetes, and hypertension. And that's just to name a few. So if we can say with confidence, with all of the medical, chemical, and pharmacological properties of ginger that have been extensively reviewed, I'm pretty confident putting it into a jar so that I have a bunch of that amazing immune boosting properties. And I mean, even just to help you digest food better. I mean, that right there is a good reason to drink it or consume it. So today, we're definitely going to dive into two amazing recipes that you can easily put up on your pantry shelf. And these are things that you can open at any time, whether it's the winter, whether it's cold and flu season, or because you're just, you know, enjoying some of that jelly on a piece of toast for breakfast. There's no wrong way. Okay, so let's dive back into a little bit more of the health benefits and the therapeutic properties of the ginger. Okay, so ginger has appeared to exert a variety of powerful therapeutic and preventative effects. And because, again, it's been used for thousands of years, it has pretty much treated everything from colds to cancer. Now, however, in the last few years, there's been a bit more organized scientific investigations, and they have focused on the mechanisms and the targets of ginger and its various components. Now, I did quite a bit of reading before I recorded, because even though I've known my whole life, thanks to my mom, that, you know, ginger is healthy, I wanted to kind of dive into some medical journals, and I wanted to do a bit more reading, and I wanted to share that with you so that you too, if you want to on your free time, you can do some digging yourself. So the medical journals that were highlighted in Nutrition Today, and they're copyrighted by Lippincott Williams and Wilkins Incorporated. Now, they have shared information on the effectiveness of ginger as an antioxidant, an anti-inflammatory, anti-nausea, and an anti-cancer agent. So it's pretty interesting. And they've also dove into the protective effect of ginger against other diseases. So fascinating. And what I found exciting is when I was digging deeper, I read a chapter of a book that I'm going to mention as well. So if you want to jot this down to do some more reading, I went online. The book is called Herbal Medicine, Biomolecular and Clinical Aspects. It's the second edition. It's by Anne M. Bodie. And let's see here. Hopefully I'm not going to slaughter his name. I had wrote it down. Okay. It's Zigang Dong. So Z-I-G-A-N-G is his first name. And Dong, D-O-N-G, as the last name. Now, I read chapter 7, so that is where I would point you to. And I was pretty enamored by the level of detail they gave. They shared with you some of the studies, the results. I mean, it was quite fascinating. You can download some of their PDFs, I believe, as well. So that is online, and I highly recommend you checking that out when you have time. Okay, so now I've given you some history about ginger root. I have talked to you about, and sorry, that was my dog barking in the background. Can't help that. And I'm not going to re-record because of my little guy up there. But he's wanting me to wrap it up so I can take him outside to play. But anyway, what does all of this history and health benefits and journalistic scientific research mean to us as canners? Well, it means that canning and even dehydrating, but canning specifically fresh ginger root is going to be one of the healthiest things you can do for you and your family. So again, I want to share two simple recipes, and let's dive into those now. The first one is a water bath recipe called lemon ginger jelly. And the other uses a pressure canner, and that is called ginger tea. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with ginger tea. And this is something that, as I mentioned earlier, I drink daily in my home. So what I'll do is I'm sipping on a mug right now, no joke. I bring my teapot to boil, and I put a green tea bag in the mug, fill it about 3/4 of the way full. And then the recipe I'm going to share with you, once it's opened, you can keep it in your refrigerator and it's good for up to 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. Depends on how much you drink and how fast. But I then fill the remaining portion of my mug with the ginger tea and then add a splash of honey. And I use raw honey. And I drink probably 2 to 4 mugs of this green and ginger tea, if you will, a day. And I'll tell you what, I've been pretty blessed. I've been healthy throughout the entire 2020 and into 2021, knock on wood. Or should I say, let me go grab some ginger. But the recipe I'm going to share with you now, this is the ginger tea, and it's going to make about 14 half-pint jars. Those half-pints are also known as your 8-ounce jelly jars, okay? The ingredients are very simple. You basically want to head to the store and get 3 to 4 average to large size ginger roots, okay? And then you're going to peel that ginger root. And what I do so that I can get into the nodules is I kind of break it up just in my hands. I break it up and I kind of peel. You can leave some of that peel on because, again, we're not eating this. We're going to be steeping this. So you can roughly peel it. And then you can cut or break your ginger root into 2-inch pieces. And then I want you to get 15 cups of water in a stock pot. It's pretty simple. This is it. Water and ginger, guys. It doesn't get any easier than this. Now let's go through the instructions because this is where it's fun. And this is how you're going to put up. Now, if you did double this, it's 30 cups of water. You're going to want, 6 to 8 ginger root, just keep in mind what you want to store. I actually, I do double this because I make some for my mother. And I make sure that, whatever I make for myself, I'm usually making for her. You know, she used a can beside me in the kitchen and now I'm doing it for her because, she's earned it, right? So anyway, pay attention to the instructions. And of course, if after you listen to my podcast, you have any questions, you're always welcome to email me at diane@canningdiva.com. Okay, so once your ginger roots are roughly peeled and cut or broken into 2-inch pieces, you're going to place that prepped ginger root into the stock pot and you're going to cover it with the water and you're going to bring it to a boil. Now, once it's at a boil, I want you to reduce the heat and keep it at a low boil for about 10 minutes. Go ahead and stir it occasionally. We don't want anything to get scorched by sitting on the bottom of the pan. Okay. Now, once you have done this, for the 10 minutes it's up, okay? Remove it from the heat, cover it with a tight-fitting lid, and just let it steep. Now, I recommend steeping this for 10 minutes at minimum, okay? The longer you go, the more that hot water is going to pull the properties from the ginger root, okay? I have often let it steep for a half an hour. Once it has steeped, use tongs and remove pieces of the ginger root and cut them into smaller half-inch pieces. You're going to place 1 half-inch piece into each jar. Then you're going to use your ladle and your funnel and you're going to fill each jar with ginger water and leave yourself a 1/2 inch of headspace. Wipe each jar rim with a washcloth dipped in vinegar and then add your lid and your ring and go ahead and hand tighten. Now, we're going to process this in a pressure canner. For those of you like me that have a dial gauge, you're going to process at 11 PSI. If you have a weighted gauge, it's 10 PSI. And you're going to process for 20 minutes. Now, obviously, if you are in a different elevation, you're going to use a higher PSI. And you can still process for 20 minutes. Of course, be sure to follow your manufacturer's instructions for operating your pressure canner and make sure you know your elevation for the required PSI. Okay. The reason I do this, and I shared with you how I have it in my green tea, but the reason it's important to have this delicious immune-boosting drink sitting on your pantry shelf is because we're right now in the midst of cold and flu season, and we still have several areas of the world that are battling COVID-19. So I shared with you how I enjoy my hot green tea, but There's other ways in which you may use this. I don't have digestive problems, probably because I drink so much of it. But if you do, if you have IBS or indigestion, heartburn, ginger in your tea is going to be very helpful to settle your stomach. Also, if you're feeling congested, place a couple tablespoons up to an ounce and a half of the ginger tea into a hot whiskey toddy. If you really like the flavor of ginger, and I'm going to be very honest with you, when you process this after steeping it for a half an hour, those little 8-ounce jelly jars pack a punch. It is a very concentrated, spicy flavor that the ginger brings to that tea. If you have the courage, go ahead and heat up an entire 8-ounce jelly jar in a mug and drink that straight. I'll tell you what, it will clear your sinuses. but if you don't, care for that much of a pungent flavor, then just start with a couple tablespoons or an ounce of the ginger tea. And then, you know, once you either get used to it or you like it at that level, you can add more. It's once it's added to something, you really can't take it out. So by all means, try with a couple tablespoons first. But you definitely will love it if you enjoy ginger. And I guarantee you, you will be sipping on a mug of tea, just like I do every day, before you know it. All right. So another delicious and healthy way to preserve ginger is by making that lemon ginger jelly. Okay, so this recipe, for those of you who have purchased my latest book, Beginner's Guide to Canning, this is also in my book on page 160. And the reason I put this one in is because I wanted to share recipes that I considered giftable. And I will say this, when you make a batch or two of lemon ginger jelly, and you know that a family member, a neighbor, a friend at church has taken ill or is fighting a cold, there is nothing that warms their heart more than receiving a small, cute little jar with maybe a handwritten note or a get well card. And, you know, it really is a beautiful and heartwarming gift to give. But it also is, you know, quite rewarding, especially if you yourself are fighting an ailment. I will say there has been more than one time that I have taken a couple tablespoons of this jelly to soothe my sore throat. You can even plunk a couple tablespoons of this into your hot green tea or any tea that you like to enjoy, or you can spread it on a piece of toast or a baguette or whatever bread you have handy. Heck, there's been times when I'm fighting a cold and I'm not feeling well, I'm content with a soda cracker. So you can put a dapple of this on a soda cracker just to get something in your tummy to start, getting to feeling better. But this recipe is a water bath recipe. So for those of you that have not endeavored into pressure canning, this is a really simple place to start. Okay, so for the ingredients, you're going to need 3 cups of fresh or bottled lemon juice, 1 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of grated lemon zest, 1 piece of fresh ginger root, and I'm going to tell you, get about 4 inches worth, okay? And this one you're going to peel fully. You want to get every ounce of that peel off of there, and you're going to finely chop that ginger root. You're going to need 2 cups of sugar, and you're going to need 2 3-ounce pouches of liquid pectin. And the reason I'm telling you to use 2 instead of 1, you will see this in every recipe I create. Pectin is naturally formed from fruit pomace, apple pomace, typically citrus peels. Unfortunately, it's not very strong and it cannot withstand high temperatures for very long. So when we expose it to boiling water temperatures, it naturally starts to lose its ability to thicken. And so instead of relying on 1 and winding up with syrup, if you truly want a jelly, you add 2 pouches. And that same rule of thumb can be utilized with any jelly recipe, like jalapeno jelly. Typically, others have called for one pouch. You will always see the Canning Diva call for two. There's nothing worse than when your jelly doesn't set. So go ahead and double it up. Now, if you want this to be more syrupy, by all means, just go ahead and add the one pouch of liquid pectin. Okay? All right, so let's go through these instructions together. All right, so in a large pot, cover the jars with hot water because we're only water bathing for 10 minutes, we want to sterilize our jars. If you are water bathing for more than 10 minutes, you can simply wash them in the sink or in your dishwasher, but this recipe only processes for 10 minutes, so we are going to boil our jars and sanitize them, okay? When you're covering those jars with hot water, you're going to add 1 tablespoon of white vinegar, and you're going to bring everything to a boil. You're going to boil those jars for 5 minutes, and then you're going to turn off the heat. You're going to repeat this same process in a smaller pot. You're going to place all of your lids and rings in there, add a touch of vinegar, bring it to a boil, let it sit for 5 minutes, or let it boil, excuse me, for 5 minutes, and then remove it from the heat and set it aside. Okay. Now, in a medium heavy bottomed pot, combine the lemon juice, water, lemon zest, and the chopped or finely chopped ginger root. Bring it to a boil over medium high heat, and then reduce the heat to low, cover it, and simmer for 10 minutes. Okay, for the next step in this, we are going to capture juice for jelly. So when you're making jelly from fruits or berries, or in this case, we're using ginger root and lemon zest, there's an easy way to capture that juice to make the jelly. We don't want the small bits in there. We want to just capture that liquid, okay? So you're going to use a large piece of cheesecloth, and you're going to cover a heat-proof measuring container that will hold more than 4 cups of liquid. So that can be stainless steel, it can be glass. I love to use my glass measuring bowl, and I just put the cheesecloth over it, and then I use a large rubber band to go around the top to hold that cheesecloth in place. And then what you're, kind of looks like a drum, right? And then what you're going to do is you're going to carefully empty the contents onto the cheesecloth. And you want to do it slowly because, again, by doubling up that cheesecloth to capture any small particles, it's going to go slow, but it's okay. It's worth the process because you want all that juice. And then if you run into problems as you're dumping it slowly, if everything gets kind of piled up on high, you can use a spatula and pull some of those larger pieces off to the side. So that way you can continue to get the liquid to go through the cheesecloth. Now, if you're doing something very heavy, like berries or fruit, you're going to want to allow that to sit there and drain for upwards of 2 hours. So that way you capture enough juice for the jelly. But thankfully, in this case, because the particles are small, it's just lemon zest and then finely chopped ginger root. It shouldn't take long at all to capture, the liquid that we need. Now, on top of that cheesecloth, you're going to wind up with quite a bit of lemon pulp and the chopped ginger. Go ahead and discard that. If you can find another use for it, by all means, even if you wanted to try and steep another batch, you're welcome to do that. I'm all about, waste not, want not. But in the case of the jelly, we no longer need those pieces and parts, so you can discard that. Now, return all of that strained liquid to a clean stock pot, and now you're going to add the 2 cups of sugar. You're going to bring it to a boil over high heat, and you're going to stir constantly to dissolve all of that sugar and to avoid it from scorching. Now, once it's at a boil, and I highly suggest, this is what I do, instead of getting it to a boil and then scrambling to find the scissors and racing around in the kitchen all the while everything's getting frothy and foamy, go ahead before, when you're getting everything set up, right, and you're getting all of your ingredients out, cut the tops of your liquid pectin pouches off and have them just standing upright in a glass 1 cup measuring cup, okay? It's just super easy. They're right there. Just keep it handy. So once your liquid with the sugar added comes to a boil, immediately add both pouches of liquid pectin at the same time. You mix it well. Get your timer handy because now you're going to return it to a boil and you're going to boil it hard for 1 minute and 1 minute only, and you're going to stir that constantly. And the reason we're only boiling this for 1 minute is, remember what I said earlier, pectin is natural, and we don't want to overboil it for fear that if we expose it to heat for too long, and remember, we're going to process this, right? We don't want to lose the gelling abilities within that pectin. So as soon as that timer goes off, remove the entire pan from the heat, skim off any foam with a spoon, discard that foam, and now you're going to ladle the jelly into your hot jars. And how I tell people to do this is those jars are going to be sitting in the water, right? So when you remove your jelly from the stove, get your jars, dump out any excess water, set them immediately on a cutting board, and go right from, you know, ladle it right into each hot jar. Bam, bam, bam. Just go one right after the other, kind of like an assembly line. And then make sure that when you're filling your jars with the hot jelly, you're leaving a quarter inch of headspace. Remove any air bubbles, add any additional jelly if necessary, but be sure to maintain that quarter inch of headspace. Wipe your jar rims with a washcloth dipped in vinegar, because that's going to cut through any sugary substances that might have dripped onto the jar rim. And then go ahead and place your sterilized lid and ring onto each jar and hand tighten. Now you're going to place those jars in a water bather, and you want to ensure that each jar is covered by at least an inch of water, okay? Before you bring it to a boil, add 2 tablespoons of distilled white vinegar to the water, and then turn on your high heat. Bring that canner to a boil, making sure that lid is on, and that is when you start your timer. Once the water is at a full rolling boil, you set your timer for 10 minutes, okay? Now, once it's done and your timer goes off, turn off your burner and allow it to sit. Let your jars sit and rest for 5 minutes before removing them from the canner. Okay, so for those of you interested in more recipes like my lemon ginger jelly, especially if you want to start creating gifts, I highly recommend you purchasing Beginner's Guide to Canning, and that's available on Amazon, and it's also available on thriftbooks.com. And they actually have some good deals over there. So I would definitely check out thriftbooks.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed learning the history of ginger root and its many medicinal uses, and of course, its many health benefits. And I hope to see pictures of your lemon ginger jelly and your ginger tea on Facebook and Instagram. Please share those pictures with me. And when you're doing so, hashtag the canning diva. I'd want to be a part of what's taking place in your kitchen and give you all the accolades. Stay healthy, my friends and fellow canners, and remember, happy canning.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Canning with the Diva. For tips, recipes, and techniques, please visit us online at canningdiva.com.